أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سن بسنته يوم الدين، أما بعد. Last time before the break we had finished up to the names of Allah Al-Aziz, Al-Qadir, Al-Qadir, Al-Muqtadir, Al-Qawi, Al-Mateen. And today we'll be starting off with the names Al-Ghani. JazakAllah for the brother who made the copy. What you can do is you can cross out or put a slash or tick next to the name that we have covered so far, so this way we know where we are. Today we'll be talking about the names of Allah SWT, that is Al-Ghani, Al-Mughni. Many of these names are very close to each other, so we'll be covering multiple names together. And hopefully in a week's time we'll finish with the names and go on to a different topic. Allah SWT tells us in the Quran in Surah Najm, Surah 53 verse 48, that وَأَنَّهُ أَغْنَى وَأَقْنَى. And another place he tells us in Surah Fatir, Surah 35 verse 15, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ وَالْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. Hamid we covered last time, if you remember, from Hamd, from praising Allah SWT, that Allah is the most deserving of His praises. Ghani literally means the self-sufficient, the rich. We know that no one is richer than Allah. Allah is the all rich, the most rich. And He is also Al-Mughni, He is the enricher. He enriches other people, human beings. He enriches everything. Every creation on earth in this universe is enriched by Allah. So Ghani and Mughni are both interconnected with each other because they both come from the literal word of Ghina, richness. What does it mean? I mean, Allah is rich in wealth, in status, and this. Allah is Allah. Allah is the King, the Sovereign, the Creator, the beginner of everything. So He is rich in the sense that He doesn't need our ibadah. That's point number one to be understood. Many people think, from worldly terms, that if somebody is rich, that they require our obedience, they require our servitude, our attention. Or if we take something from them, they'll get less. If somebody is a millionaire and he take about $500,000 away from him, he's no longer rich. Something has diminished, something has reduced in them. So therefore, when we say Allah is rich, it does not mean that if anything that Allah gives to us, it becomes less. And at the same time, Allah doesn't require us to worship Him so that He remains rich. He won't become poor. In fact, nothing will make even a dent in His dominion, in His kingdom, whether we worship or not, whether we waste things or take of things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is first and foremost making us realize from these two names, Al-Ghani and Al-Mughni, that the kamal of His ghina, in the sense of giving us and blessing us with all these riches, all the blessings that He has given to us, to humanity, and all the blessings that He has given to other planets. Who knows what is there on other planets, other galaxies. So everything that is there in place in this world, it is from the richness of Allah, and it does not in a single way diminish or reduce His kingdom or His richness. He is still rich. And He does not require ibadah. Point number three is then of that, it is from His richness that He has given us tawfiq to worship Him. This is where the mughni part comes. He has enriched us with this tawfiq, with this encouragement, with this thinking, understanding, we should worship Allah. Where does this come from? I mean, most people say this is intuition. This is my intelligent design, or intelligent brain that tells me that I should recognize the Supreme Being, Allah, and I should worship it. But if Allah, there are so many people on this earth, like Abu Jahl. That's why he was known as Abu Jahl, father of ignorance. He had a brain, he had the same body and brain and spirit and ruh like us, but it didn't just get into it. For some people, the tawheed doesn't get into them. And therefore, whether they can't understand the concept of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like atheists or secular people, no matter how much dawah you give to them, some people they don't change. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing that, look, one of the biggest one of the biggest riches that I've given you is Nur al-Hidayah, the guidance. Now we take this for granted, why? Because we were born in a Muslim household. Khalas, I was born, my father gave azan and iqamah, I became Muslim, I didn't realize the true value of this richness. If I bring a bag of gold in front of you, each one of you will say, yes, this is very expensive, this is very valuable, precious. But this iman richness that we have in our heart, in our body, we don't value it. We have no measurement, no thermometer, no barometer, no way to measure its richness, how rich it is. The only way you can at least get the slightest idea when you talk to a revert, a convert, and somebody has come into Islam, they will tell you that, brother, sister, what you have by birth is something so precious that I had to really work hard for it. I had to run from post to post. I had to drain my energy and everything to get to Islam. What you have by birth, Allah is really yun'am alayk, meaning Allah has really blessed you. A ni'mah from Allah. This is a richness. Richness, people think always in terms of materialism. Having money is richness. Having children is richness. Having a house is richness. Allah is saying, richness is not measured by materialistic things. Richness is measured by another parameter, another paradigm, and that is success. An-najah. If you're successful, you get to Jannah, that means you are the true rich person. If you are rich in this dunya, but you're unsuccessful and you end up in Jahannam, you were never rich. You were rich temporarily. Madda, materialism. From worldly, maddiyat point of view. But from reality point of view, you're not. That's why Rasulullah said that Jannah will be filled up with poor people. And the Sahaba, they staghraw, and they became shocked. Say, what? Ya Rasulullah? Jannah will be with poor people? That means it's better to be poor here. And he smiled at them. And he sort of took a light moment from them, smiling at them. Look, it's so simple. The more money you have, the more hisab you have to give accountability. If I have $1 million, I have to give account for every single penny. Uncle Sam does it from January 1st to April 15th, and we run from post to post trying to find out, justify every penny we spend so that we can get our tax back. Don't you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's given us 30, 40, 60, 70 years of life, is going to ask us, all this money you earned, give me now hisab. Where did you earn it from? Where did you spend? So the one who's poor, who's always hand to mouth, who's always striving, who's always in poverty, or who only get one meal a day, they will be the first to get to Jannah. And there will be more. What he said by that hadith was, the poor will be filled up in Jannah because if they have, is a fuqihu, if they have iman and fiqh, if they have understanding of deen, and they remain patient in their, in poverty, in their poorness, if they remain patient, then yes, they will get to Jannah. But many people in poverty, when being poor, they become impatient. How? They might go rob someone, they might kill someone, they might steal from someone, they might commit suicide because of the pressures of society and peer and everything. So if you remain patient in poverty, in poorness, yes, you'll get to Jannah. Why? Because then you only had this X amount of money. So Allah will ask, give me hisab of this, you finish quickly. That's it. The one with the millions and millions of dollars, or hundreds of dollars, is standing there waiting, still giving hisab while you're done, and you're off into Jannah. This is what he meant, and then Sahaba breathed a sigh of relief. They felt like, oh, it's better to be poor. But yes, he also told them, the rich people, you also have a way out. Because whatever you spend, fi sabilillah, is not accountable. Allah's not going to ask you, why you gave this masjid $100,000? Why you build this orphanage? Why you build that hospital? Why you build that school? Allah's not going to ask you for the money. The only money Allah's going to ask each one of us is the money that we took and ate and used for our family and everything. Other than that, whatever we spend in the world, you help someone get married, you help someone go for Hajj, you help someone go for Umrah, you help someone build a house. This is all fi sabilillah. Fi sabilillah doesn't mean only masjid, school and hospital, orphanage. It means anything. Someone comes to you and says, fi sabilillah, can you help me? You help the traveler. Somebody lost their ticket, their wallet, everything. All that money that you spend. So what Rasulullah is saying, that you can use your richness, still get to Allah, to Jannah faster by using riches. How? You always intelligently use your money in a vital way, in such a way that it can expedite your getting into Jannah. Because the less you spend in fi sabilillah, that means what happened? The more you used it. So the more you use your money, suppose you have 100 units of money, if you use 90%, you only gave to Allah 10% of that 100%, and 90% was used by you, so you'll be standing there in Yawm al-Qiyamah, in the justice court of Allah, giving hisab. But if you did 50-50, let's say for example, 100 out of 100, you give 50 to Allah in every path, and the 50 was sufficient for you and your family, you get faster. Because now you're only giving hisab of 50%. And remember, every time we give to Allah, we get more back. So in this way, Allah is really giving you an indication that one of the ways to multiply your richness is the more you're giving, the more is coming back. This is one aspect of richness. Another aspect of his richness is that, like I said, the nur, hidayah, the iman he's given us to come into it. The other aspect of his richness is his vast nature of expansive nature of his dominion, kingdom. Meaning you pick up the biggest king on this earth. How vast was their dominion kingdom? Napoleon Bonaparte, Alexander, or King Henry, or this or that monarch, or anyone. They may have been from maybe China to Europe, or Europe to Africa, or Americas, or something. I mean, there is so limited. Allah is saying, my kingdom, my dominion is so huge. To Allah belongs the Jannah, to Allah belongs the Jahannam, to Allah belongs the Sab'a Samawat wal-Ard, to Allah belongs the Arsh, to Allah belongs all these galaxies, to Allah belongs all the planets, to Allah belongs to every single thing that mankind hasn't even discovered. So Allah is Ghani, the all-rich, and the most rich in the sense, no one can beat Him. And in this concept lies a principle. Because like I said earlier, the more you give to Allah, the more you get back. Look, what does Allah say in the Quran about giving to Him? Very simple methodology. Allah says, "Man yuqridu Allah qardan hasana." Allah doesn't say, "Give me tabarru'at, donation." Allah doesn't say, "Give me money, fulus, masarif, umal, tu'ti al-mal." No. Allah says, "Man yuqrid qard." Who is there to give a goodly loan? Allah says, "Give me loan." Now, just wait for a minute. Or not even a minute, just for a second, think. Why, when somebody says, "Give me loan," what are they implying? Who can tell me that? If I ask you, "Brother Adam, can you give me a loan, $1,000? Oh, don't worry, don't get scared. I'm not asking. What am I asking? What am I implying to others if I'm asking Brother Adam for a loan? No, no, before that even. Before even the issue of giving back with and taking and all that. What's the first indication right away?
You need.
Thank you. Haja, ana bihaja, I need money. Right? If I come to any one of you that I need loan, what is the first thing coming out? Need. That's first. And second thing, what am I saying? What am I saying if I'm asking for loan? Is that money mine or his?
It's yours.
No?
It's Allah.
No, when I come to anyone, when I come to him and give me $1,000, whose $1,000 it is? Yes, it is Allah, but right now it's in his milkiyah. It's in his dominion. It's his money. So that's why I'm saying, give me a loan, because the word loan signifies it is his money and I'm bound to give it back. Because if I just run away with his money, that is haram, that's haram, it's wrong. Because then that would be the case and you would say, give me a donation. But when you say loan, from the word qard, two meanings come out. Number one, I am in need, haja. Number two, it is not my money. I am taking with this understanding that I have to return back in due time. Now let's come to why Allah says, مَنْ يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا يُضَعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Subhanallah. Why is very important? Because right now we're studying His name, Ghani. If Allah is rich, do you think He needs money? Never, ever. Subhanallah. So first thing, we have clarified. Allah is not in need of money. Allah doesn't need money. First thing, very clarified. Yet Allah isn't giving you Allah. So what does that mean? What is Allah saying? I'm going to give it back to you. Because when I say give me a loan, automatically in my word loan is embedded, hidden, I have to give it back to you. Whether we spell it out in terms or not, just the word itself explains I have to give it back to you. Allah is not in need of money, but He says give me money so that I can give it back to you.
Investment.
Investment. And remember, who gave us the money in the first place to give it to fi sabilillah? Whose money is it? Is it my money? Can I claim it's my money? Allah gave me to begin with. I was born in this world, I had nothing, no money. Allah gave money to my parents to be able to raise me and to be able to make me big enough. And then Allah made me big enough. Then Allah gave me a job. Then Allah gave me money. And now Allah says, from birth, from the time you came to this dunya on a lap, you were helpless, you were, everything. You were in a necessity. I made you into this big human being now, and you're getting money from me, Allah, and now I'm asking, give me money, so I give it back to you. Meaning, when Allah is using the word loan, it does not mean, this is where the aqidah comes into play. Because if when Allah is saying, give me loan, give me money, He's not saying, I am poor, astaghfirullah al-azim, and I need money. No, He's using this word to give us, me, all of us, Muslims, a reality that look, Allah doesn't need the money. He's ghani, He's rich. But He's saying, give me so I can give it back to you. Meaning Allah saying, your money sitting in your pocket, sitting in your house, sitting in your bank, your money will not multiply. The only way money will multiply, you give it to Allah, and Allah returns back. مَنْ يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Who will give Allah a goodly loan that it will come back to him. This is very important to understand because there came a qawm before us. qawm of Musa al-Islam, Bani Israel, when they were asked to give money in the way of Allah, you know what they said? This is what the ayah I read earlier. Allah says about them, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. They said about Allah, when Musa al-Islam told his qawm, come, give money in the way of Allah, they said, what kind of Allah you have? What kind of God you have? He needs money? I mean, he's poor. See, when you have fasid aqeedah, when you have bad aqeedah, you go in the wrong direction. Although there were believers in Musa al-Islam, there were believers in Allah, there were believers, mu'mineen. It's not that you're talking to a kafir. Musa al-Islam was talking to his own people, the believers. Yet, their mindset was corrupt. So they took it in a wrong way. Because right now, I explained to you in a very easy way that the word loan means I'm in need. So, they immediately thought, the Bani Israel, they thought, oh, Musa al-Islam's Rabb needs money. So he's asking for money. So he said, oh, they said, Yadullah maghloola. They said that, oh, Allah's hand is tied up. And Allah is faqir. And they said that, لَقَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَالَ الَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهُ فَقِيرٌ وَنَهْنُ أَغْنِيَةٌ. Allah says, I believe in Surah Al-Imran, Allah says this ayah, that's indeed, لَقَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَالَ الَّذِينَ. Allah has indeed heard the call, the saying of those people, meaning the Bani Israel, people of Moses, who said, إِنَّ اللَّهُ فَقِيرٌ وَنَهْنُ أَغْنِيَةٌ. Allah is faqir, and we are rich. Why did they say that? Because they said, oh, his prophet is asking money from us. Where did they go wrong? They went wrong in two places. One, they thought the money they have is theirs. Allah is saying, your money is not even yours. You never had it. You never had it to begin with. And then the second thing they went wrong is, they thought that, oh, Allah is poor. So this is why it's very important to understand these two names, Al-Ghani and Al-Mughni. Ghani meaning the all rich, the most rich, self-sufficient, free from any need. And that's why Surah As-Samad or Surah Ahad or Surah Tawheed was revealed. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَد. Allah Samad. One of the names of Allah, attributes or sifat of Allah, Allah is Samad. Why is Allah Samad? Because He's Ghani. Samad means free from any wants, free from any deficiencies, free from any necessity. Doesn't need anything, doesn't want anything, doesn't desire anything. He doesn't need any help. So when Allah is free and self-sufficient, He is also rich. That's why He's rich. So As-Samad, Al-Ghani, Al-Mughni, all three names come in together. And that's why Allah revealed that surah, to make people realize that Allah is Ghani, He doesn't have parents and He doesn't have son. Because those who are not rich, those who are temporarily rich, or those who have fluctuating things, meaning like us, we are always, the one who has fluctuating things in life means they are always in need. When we were young, we needed our parents. Now when the parents get old, who do they need? They need the children to help them. They need crutches, they need things, they need help. Meaning the son and daughters will come and pitch in for their parents. And that's why Allah in the Quran has always emphasized the huquq, the rights of parents and not the rights of children. Because it doesn't go vice versa. Allah is already implying that parents will never shy away from duty. You will never see a parent having a child and just throwing in the garbage, although it happens in this country. Because it's non-believing parents. The parent that believes in Allah will never do such a abhorrent thing. You will never see a parent having a child not have fulfilling their needs. School bags and lunch and this and clothes and games and this. Parents are always on the giving attitude. But that's why Allah never emphasized in the Quran that, oh parents, remember your duty. Remember you got to take care of kids. It's already understood. And Allah is acknowledging that. That I have given parents such love and hub. And I've given parents such richness, ghina, that they will always be generous in that. And Allah is emphasizing to children that look, don't cheat your parents. Don't, you know, neglect them. Don't ignore them from their rights. Why? Because Allah is acknowledging kids are kids. From human nature, they will always be qasir. They will always be deficient in fulfilling the rights of parents. That's why Allah mentioned so many times in the Quran the rights of parents, the duties towards parents. Because of the richness factor. This is the issue of richness that Allah is saying that He is Tawheed, the oneness. He has no children, He has no son, He has no parents, He's not born of anything. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. He is not born, lam yalid. He wasn't born. There's nothing, no beginning. He is the beginning. Like we said, initial start of this series, we said Allah is al-awwal wal-akhir. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. Nor does He give birth, nor does He need children. Because the one who needs parents and the one who needs children tells that thing is deficient, is weak, It's not self-sufficient. But Allah is rich. Allah is ghani and mughni. He's self-sufficient. So when someone is self-sufficient, they don't need any of these things. And that's why Allah says about Tawheed. The other aspect of the next name is Al-Hakim, from Hikmah, wisdom. Allah says in the Quran, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ Allah is powerful, overpowering فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ, over His slaves, over His human beings. وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ We use this name, we sort of mentioned this name earlier when we were doing الْأَلِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ, we use this Hakim also. Just want to mention two things over here regarding the issue of Hikmah of Allah SWT. Allah SWT is Hakim in the sense that He knows what is good for us. Allah will never will bad for His slaves. Because when misfortune afflicts us, when something bad happens in our life, first thing Shaitan attacks us in our mind is, oh look, Allah doesn't love you. Oh, why were you chosen to go through this bad mishap or something? Because now Shaitan is playing with your emotions, playing with your aqidah, with your brain, with your thought process. And one of the ways to drive that thought process and Shaitan away is to remember Allah is Al-Alimul Khabirul Hakim. From the hikmah of Allah is that whatever He gives us, whatever befalls us in our life is always good. And if you remember last time I mentioned that hadith, that in the amr al-mu'min kulluhu khayr. Rasulullah said in the hadith, in a short hadith, that the amr of mu'min, the affairs of a believer are all of it khayr, good. Whether it's good or bad, if it's good fortune, if it's bad fortune, both of it is good. Why? Because if it's good, if he thanks in shakara, if he gives thanks, if he or she gives thanks to Allah because of the good thing, Allah gives them more. And when bad mishap or some accident or something negative happens, and if he or she is patient, Allah gives more. If they become impatient, rebellious, arrogant, and go the other way, then they are doomed because they can't butt heads with Allah SWT. And that is what Allah SWT is saying. From His hikmah, He knows when and where and what time is the best for you at that moment. You may be thinking that right now this job is the best for me, I should get it. But Allah knows from His hikmah, Hakim, it is not best for you. So He will do everything to stop you from getting that job. And now you take it the wrong way. So Allah doesn't want to bless me. Allah doesn't like me. He doesn't love me. See, I missed such a good opportunity. It was the best job, best offer of my life that I could think of. But you don't know. Maybe perhaps you would have taken that job and 2 weeks later you're laid off. I've had people who got the best job of their life and 2 weeks or 2 months later they're laid off. And they're back to square one. They said, I wish I would not have even taken the job because now I have to go through all this. Whereas there are some places where the job is very, very meandering, very meager kind of job, very mediocre, very static. But you take that and you start climbing up the ladder from that job. You get promotion, double promotion, seniority, and you like, subhanAllah, because Allah is Al-Hakim. He knows what's the best for you. So He brought you to that mediocre job and He made you go up your career ladder from that job when you never even thought that you can climb up in seniority from a mediocre job. You thought that only a lavish, strikeful job would be there. This is Hakim and Hikmah. The other Hikmah aspect of this over here is that Allah has revealed knowledge, Kitab, Quran, knowledge, ilm for us. He has revealed wisdom. He has given the Sunnah of Rasulullah. The Sunnah of Rasulullah is preserved and protected in the Ahadith books. There's no prophet of Allah on this earth who has their private inner lives protected. Not even Isa and Musa al-Islam even today. The Jews and Christians, you ask them, how did Musa al-Islam live with his wife? How did Isa al-Islam live with his people? How did he deal with his mother Mary? You have no account whatsoever, no record. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from His hikmah and hakim, He preserved everything for the Khatimul Anbiya, Sayyidul Mursaleen, Muhammad Rasulullah, so that we in 2005 and 2006 today even, we can open a book and find out how He dealt with His children, how He dealt with His wives, how He dealt with His other people, and so on and so forth. This is one of the hikmah aspect of it. Next name we have is Al-Haleem. Al-Haleem means the most forbearing. Haleem literally means the extensive aspect of, why don't you give the sister a chair for me, inshallah. The Haleem over here comes from the root word of patience, extreme patience. See, the first degree for a person is when something afflicts us, when something happens to us, the first line of our attack is patience, sabr. But when we are patient, sabr, we begin to ascend the ladder. See, someone is, let me explain from this one. There is one Muslim, he or she is 10 units patient. Another is 100 units. Another is 1,000. Another 10,000. Another 1,000,000. So each person is patient with darajat. When you reach a certain threshold level, there is a certain level, but that's it. Above this level, you are now in the category of hilm. Meaning, people can do, say any bad words in front of you, people can do anything, they can even slap you, but you will not get angry. This is the hilm. And halim is that person who has a lot of sabr, a lot of patience, and a lot of hilm. And what does hilm mean? Meaning, you feel irritated, but you quench that irritation, you suppress and quell that anger or that feeling of irritation with your sabr. And that's why Rasulullah said, "Laysa al-qawiyyu," that not strong is not the person. This surah, I think. "Walakin al-qawiyyu man yamsik nafsu 'inda al-ghadab, wal-kazim min al-ghayth, wal-'afi 'an an-nas, wallahu yuhibbu al-muhsinin." In Surah Al-Imran, Allah says, "Wal-kazimin al-ghayth," those who control their anger, "wal-'afi 'an an-nas," and they forgive people. They have the haqq. They have a right to take their right back, but they say, "No, forget it. I give it up. I give up my right. I forgive you." We'll see it upstairs with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْعَفِينَ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحَبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And these are the real true good doers, and Allah loves them. And the hadith was, لَيْسَ الْقَوِيُّ بِالْسُرْعَةِ, that strong is not the person. قَوِي, strengthful, strong is not the person who can put you down, like a wrestle. Put you down, 1, 2, 3, finish, I beat you up, I'm strong. No. Rasulullah is saying, strength and quwa, قَوِي, is not physical strength. Not how many power you have in your hand, how much you can box someone, how much you can slap someone, how much you can push someone, there is not strength. وَلَكِنَّ الْقَوِيُّ, but strong is a person, يَمْسِكْ نَفْسَهُ, who can control. Look at the word used even by Rasulullah. يَمْسِكْ, مَسِكْ, holding yourself. In other words, the word يَمْسِكْ or إِمْسِكْ is implying that when you get angry, it's as if like you're wildfire. You're just running away, racing. Like a wild horse racing in a truck. There's no way to get, when you put the rein in the mouth of the horse is then calmed down. Otherwise, before that, the horse is very hyper, violent, running, until you put the saddle on the back and the rein in the mouth, then the whole, you hold back. So Rasulullah is saying that when you get angry and irritant at that moment, you're about to go berserk, just go wild and crazy. But at that time, you hold yourself, this inner strength, this inner quwwah that you have, as opposed to the outer strength, is the one who is really strong. This is the one who is qawi. And the ayah that I said, وَالْكَازِمِينَ الْغَيْثِ, those who really drink their anger. The best thing to drink in this world is not Coca-Cola, it's not Pepsi, it's not Tropicana juice. Of course, khamr is already haram. The best thing to drink in here, in this world, is not even water. You can't even drink Poland Spring or any spring water. But the best thing to drink in this dunya to get the qurb of Allah, to get the rid of Allah, is drink your anger. Now you might say, hold, you might say to your husband or wife, hold the glass when I'm getting angry. I want to put in the anger there, then you give it back to me and I drink. But the anger is already inside you. When you get angry, it's already there. It's like you're sitting in an oven and somebody tells you, just cool down. Think as if you're in the refrigerator. Because when you get angry, you're very hot. Sometimes people even start feeling really hot in the ears or the nerves that are there behind that, or blood pressure rises up. Because what is anger? What is ghadab? Yaghli ad-dam. The boiling of blood in your nerves, in your veins, is anger. So Rasulullah and Allah are saying that the best halim person is one who controls themselves. This is in terms of dunya, in terms of us human beings, halim. This is halim. What to talk about the one who gives halim? Al-halim, the most forbearing, the all-forbearing. And you know how Allah is very forbearing, meaning the highest degree of the patience of Allah, how? That we miss prayers, we do ghiba, we disobey Allah, we sometimes are negligent of parents' duties, we sometimes miss out things, we do so many wrong things on this earth in our life, but look at the hilm of Allah, He ignores, He forgives, He forgets, He turns the other way as if He didn't acknowledge it. There are so many numerous ahadiths to explain the hilm of Allah. Like that one hadith that comes to mind right away, that Allah says, through the Rasulullah said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like the mujahara, the vocal public person. Who is mujahara? The Sahaba asked. Rasulullah said, mujahara is that person, that male or female, who committed a sin in the darkness of the night, and then the next morning they come and they call people, ya fulan, come listen. Last night, fil barihati, I did this and this. And they feel proud about it. They said, oh, I did this thing, I did zina, I drank khamar, I did that. And hey, I'm talking about it. No big deal. This is mujahara. Why Rasulullah said that Allah hates that person? Because Allah through His hilm covered them up, covered their sins, covered their fault. Nobody knew who drank khamar except Allah. Not even their own loved ones, not even the spouse. Neither the husband knew or the wife knew that if either committed a sin, and Allah covered them. Imagine husband and wife how close they are. But even between husband and wife, Allah knows each other's secret. But when somebody deliberately comes out and telling about their bad deeds, Allah hates that. Because Allah says, I, being the Halim, Al-Halim, I covered you up, I protected you, I saved you from people. And you then go around and tell people? If that was the case, Allah would have been the first to expose you. But Allah didn't expose you. Allah covered you. So that's why Allah doesn't like mujahara. This is a glimpse and image of His Halim, Halim. Another Halim Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Fatir in the Quran that if Allah were to pick on us, if Allah was vindictive and vengeance, like very aggressive, or you do wrong, I'll smack you. You do wrong, I'll give you a bad thing. If Allah was vindictive, then not a single dead bear will live on this earth. Not a single creation would be surviving on this earth. Meaning Allah is saying, I am not like that. If I were, none of you would be alive on earth. Meaning every single creation on earth has negativities, have negative elements, has mistakes, has problems with their personality. So Allah would have picked on them and they would not be alive. So Allah is saying, I am not like that. My hilm is that I have given so much leverage, flexibility to you. As some rivayas say that as much as merciful a mother is to her or her child, Allah is 70 times more than that from a mother. You irritate a mother, you aggravate a mother, she might temporarily at that moment in the anger, she might get so upset, she says, just get out of my sight, just go somewhere. Go to your bedroom, go outside or something. But then that same child, he or she, the daughter, son, comes back with a miskeen face and, you know, oh please, mom, mama, something. And the mother, she changes 180 degrees. And you said to yourself as a son and daughter, say, wait a second. 5 seconds ago, this woman said, I don't want to see your face. And now she's hugging me. And Allah has given this thing to only women. That's why Allah put the Jannah underneath them, not for us. For a father, you go there maybe 10 times, then he'll say, okay, no problem. And that's why the mother will come to us and intercede. Ya Allah, khalas, don't forget him. And the father looks at the wife and like, come on, give me a break. I gotta keep my hold, you know. And Allah is saying, just like that mother changes, 70 times multiplied when it comes to Allah. In other words, what? This is the hilm of Allah. In terms of hilm from dunya, Allah is saying, if you want to see hilm in dunya, look at the ummahat, mothers. Look at mothers, you'll see a glimpse of hilm. And I am 70 times or 100 times more than that. What to compare with Allah? And what is the hilm of Allah? No matter how big a sin that someone does, they just come and put this on al-jibha, the forehead, jibha. Al-ard, khalas, everything Allah is willing to forget. No matter how big a thing we did. Like this hadith of Rasulullah where he said about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, what a beautiful hadith. In the sense, where did it go? Ya ibn Adam, look at the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a hadith Qudsi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Rasulullah is informing us directly in Hadith Qudsi. Ya Ibn Adam, O son of Adam, لو أتيتني بقراب الأرض خطايا بقراب الأرض, as far as you, مد بصر, as far as your eyesight can see, and even more than that, as far as the square meters of the earth, planet earth is, if you came with every single square meter filled up with sin, خطايا, and ithn, what will he do? ثُمَّ لَقَيْتَنِي لَا تُشْرِكْ بِي شَيْءٍ لَأَتَيْتُكَ بِقَرَابِهَا مَغْفِرَةً. This is the hilm of Allah. What is Allah telling us? That, O son of Adam, Ya Bani Adam, if you came with all the square meter and centimeter size of this earth filled up with mistakes and problems and issues, and you did not do shirk with Allah, I will come with every single square inch meter of forgiveness. I'll forgive all of them. In another hadith, Qudsi, Rasulullah said that Allah said, Ya Bani Adam, لو جئت بكنعان السماء, as much as the distance is between earth and the arsh of Allah. Now imagine, if you just measure the distance, Allah's arsh were way up above Sabah, Sabawat and Tabar. Way up there, arsh. From there you keep counting, measuring distance, maybe zillions of kilometers and miles up to the earth. Allah SWT is saying, if you came by as much as this sins, mistakes, وَلَا تُرْفِكْ بِي شَيْئًا لَأَتَيْتُهَا بِكَنَعِ السَّمَاءِ مَغْفِرًا. I will come with this much distance of maghfirah. And there are so many other ahadith about Allah SWT's Hilm. And that is why the other names are connected with it, the other names that we cover. In another place, Allah SWT says in the Quran regarding His Hilm, to give us an idea how Halim Allah is. وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلُو مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوهُ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ حَلِيمٌ. Allah uses His name Halim with other names such as Al-Afu, Al-Ghafur, Al-Ghaffar, Al-Ghafir, forgiving, and At-Tawwab. He will use Halim with His other properties. Why? Because it is linked with it. Allah is Ghaffar because He's Halim. Allah is Tawwab because He's Halim. Allah is Al-Afu, most pardoning, because He's Halim. It had it not been for the Him of Allah, He would not be all of this. But this is the quality of Allah, the asas, that is related to the other things. And another place Allah tells us about His Hilm, وَلَوْ يَأْخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِمَا كَسَبُوا. If Allah were to pick on people, بِمَا كَسَبُوا, with what they did, all their actions, you know, all the misdeeds and bad deeds, if Allah were to take that, يُأْخِذُ, الْأَخْذُ here means accountability. If Allah wants to account us for every single word we said, every single action we did, مَا تَرَكَ عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِهَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ وَلَكِنْ يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. He will not leave a single creation dead on the earth, but He يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ, He delays it. Allah is delaying it, delaying the hisab for us. If Allah were to bring Qiyamah right now, none of us will be able to be living here on earth if Allah was to account. But He's delaying that. Even in the Qiyamah, the Quraysh of Makkah, مُسْتَعْجِلِينَ, they are impatient. They became impatient, saying, oh, your Prophet keeps talking about Qiyamah, Qiyamah, Qiyamah. What is it? It's a hoax? Qiyamah is not coming. So Allah reveals an ayah, Surah An-Nahl, first ayah. What is that? Ata amru Allah, fala tasta'jilu. Ata amru Allah, yani amru Allah, Qiyamah, so fayati, inshallah. And Allah is saying here in the present tense, Ata amru Allah, or in fact in the past tense, amru Allah has come. When the Sahaba heard this ayah, they became shivering. Oh my God, Qiyamah is coming right now. That means that we're doomed, we're dead. But Allah is saying in the sense that if you think Qiyamah is delayed, is late, no, it's right here. Your perception of dunya, of time, looks like as if it's a long time. No, it's here. In fact, Rasulullah said, the Qiyamah, أَنَا بَعِثْتُ وَالْقِيَامَةَ كَهَاتِي. My da'sa, my coming and Qiyamah like this, they're so close, fixed together. Yes, it has been 1436 years since Rasulullah became a Rasul, but don't be fooled that this 1,436 years is a long time. It is so close. We can claim at any moment. To us, we are fooled by shaitan. We think, oh, it's such a long time, 1,000. Because for us, we live only 50, 60 years. To us, it looks... Nuh al-Islam lived for 1,000 years. If Nuh al-Islam was to look at us, he'd say, man, you guys live like a blink of an eye. I blink my eye, and you're dead. Because 1,060 years. What a difference. What a comparison. There is no comparison. Not even 10%. What's 10% of 1,000? 100. How many people live 100 years here? And those who even get to there, those who have the desire to live 100 years, look what happens. When you are in that age of haram, haram weakness, you feel like, I just want to die. I've seen people in their 90s, they say, death is better for me. I can't live this life. Because things are going out. The eyesight is going weaker, hearing is going out, heart has become slow, lungs are going out. That's why Rasulullah used to say that we should be desiring that, oh Allah, when you take our life, take us like walking and moving, like agile, not like as if paralyzed, handicapped, because old age is also not that good. And if you, Allah, do give us old age, give old age with barakah, such that I can move, I can pray, I can do things. And that is what Allah SWT here is saying in the sense of Hilm, that if Allah, in another ayah, Surah Fatir, Allah SWT said that if Allah were to imsik, as-samaat wal-ard, and tazula la-inzalata, that if Allah were to just shake the heavens and earth because of the actions that human beings do on earth, you know, the misdeeds, they would have been shaken up. But Allah from His Hilm is not doing that. In fact, there are so many riwayat that say that the earth pleads to Allah, "Oh Allah, give me a chance, let me open up and dump these human beings who are doing your ma'siyah, your isyan." And Allah is showing His hilm that, look, you Bani Adam, you have so much isyan, you have so much khataya, you have so much atham, you have so many things, but yet, look at Allah, I'm still feeding you. You don't pray. There are so many people who don't pray. You don't even pray Jummah. They don't even pray Eid. Muslims, did Allah kill them? Is Allah vindictive? Is Allah in vengeance? Is Allah seeking revenge? No. This is the hilm of Allah. Allah is showing, look, what? In fact, the best ayah that can explain the hem of Allah is in Surah Nisa. مَا يَفْعَلَ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ. Allah is asking question, istifham, su'al istifhamiyah. مَا يَفْعَلَ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ. What will Allah achieve? What will Allah get? Allah is al-Haleem, al-Afu, al-Ghafoor. What will Allah get by giving you azab? If only you give shukr, شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ. You give shukr to Allah, you believe in Allah, and that's it. That's all Allah wants. And if still you don't do that, still you don't believe, you don't do sugar, still Allah is feeding you, Allah is giving you kids, Allah is giving you job, giving you money. So Allah is saying, my signs of Him are all over you, Ya Abd. Ya Amatullah, Ya Abdullah. Look, just wait for a minute on a seat and think about all the Hilm of Allah, and you will begin to just cry, thinking, oh my God, Allah gave me so much ni'mah, and how negligent I am. This is the hilm of Allah. And then the other names, later this is Al-Afu, the pardoner, or the most pardoning. Al-Ghafoor, the all-forgiving. Al-Ghaffar, the most forgiving. All-forgiving, the difference between Ghafoor and Ghaffar is, Ghafoor meaning all-forgiving. Allah will forgive everything, illa shirk. Inna Allah yaghfiru. Allah says in the Quran, and that ayah is not coming to my mind, that Allah will forgive everything except shirk. And Allah is Al-Ghaffar, the most forgiving, meaning no matter how many sins you do, 1,000 mistakes, a million mistakes, Allah is most forgiving, He forgives that also. La tushrik bi shayin, the only condition Allah put, no shirk. And of course, the other condition is tawbah nasuha. You have a repentance that is sincere. You don't go do a sin and say, oh, Allah is Ghafur Rahim, He'll forgive me. Then you go back to, and then you go make mistake, and then you, Allah says, don't play games with me. If you want to make tawbah sincerely, and do some hard work to not fall into mistake again. Sincere effort. So this is the issue of afu, ghafar, and ghafoor. In another ayah, to give us an idea, Allah says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is directing Muhammad Islam that قُلْ, tell, O Muhammad Islam, tell my ibad. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِي. What? All of the ibad of Allah? No. بِالشَّرْط. There is a condition. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِي الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا. الَّذِينَ هُنَا إِسْمُ مَوْصُولٌ. Now I'm joining. Allah has fixed a condition with the ibad. That's, O Muhammad Islam, tell my ibad, those ibad, الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Those who have done israf, transgression. Those who have transgressed the boundaries of Allah. Amma, the mu'min who hasn't transgressed the boundary, is not. Meaning Allah is giving an idea to those people who have gone way, way, way far away in the ma'si of Allah. Allah is giving them hope. What? قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Do not give up hope. Don't despair from the rahmah of Allah. Don't think that, oh, Allah is Qahhar and Jabbar and Sari'ul Hisab and He's going to give me punishment. That's it, my doom, I'm doomed. There's no purpose for me to live in this life. Some people, because of their ma'asiyah, they become so depressed, so hazeen, that they commit suicide. They commit suicide. They'll leave a note. I was a very evil person. I was evil to my wife or evil to my husband, evil to my parents. I was not good. I don't deserve to be living. I'm committing suicide. Allah is saying, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. In Surah Yusuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا تَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Fisq. If you do fisq and fujur, then you will give up hope and despair from the rahmah of Allah, from rahmah of Allah. But if you have iman, if you have taqwa, if you have trust and tawakkul in Allah and you believe in Allah, you will know that yes, inshallah, if I sincerely repent to Allah, Allah will forgive me. Not that I just repent to Allah and play games and then go back again. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying about Al-Haleem, Al-Afu, Al-Ghafoor, Al-Ghaffar, and then Al-Tawwab. Why is Allah Tawwab? They're all repenting. Yatubu alayna. Because there are two things with the name of Tawwab. Who gives us the feeling to repent? Where does it come in your brain, I need to repent to Allah? Does your father tell you? Does your mother tell you? Does your wife, your husband tell you? Your son? Who tells you? Does anybody even tell you? Where does it come? Where does this thought initiate, start? Huh? Nafs, very good. Where in the nafs? No, I'm meaning in the nafs, in the soul, where in the body? Is it in your eyes it goes, in brain, in heart, where?
In heart.
Fi qalb. Feeling. Who instills, who imbibes, who puts this feeling in the heart? Allah. At-Tawwab. Why? Because Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Allah is saying in the Quran about the human being, that the human being says, وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي, my tawfiq, my encouragement, my feeling, this feeling of any goodness, وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Yani, I don't get tawfiq from anyone on earth except Allah. So Allah is a tawwab, that He gives you the feeling, oh, I've been bad, I need to make salah, I need to make salatul istighfar, I need to make istighfar, I need to make tawbah, salatul tawbah, let me just make wudu, pray. Or even if you don't make wudu, let me just sit down and make astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. This feeling that is coming, is coming from Allah. In fact, this is also from the hikmah of Allah, al-hakim. Remember we said earlier, Allah is al-hakim, why is He wise? Because He knows that now, because Allah did not give you tawfiq to make tawbah, maybe before, but now you have, because before maybe it was not the right time for you to make tawbah. Now that Allah gave you tawfiq, it is from His hikmah and from His tawwab, He gave you the tawfiq now to repent to Allah. And then from the meaning of tawwab is, He gives you tawfiq and then He teaches you how to make tawbah. How? Maybe you go pray, maybe you read Quran, maybe you do zikr. All of this is coming from Allah. Second aspect. Third aspect, وَيَعْفُوا عَنِ السَّيِّئَاتِ. He forgives your sins. إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَيَقْبِلُ التَّوْبَةِ غَافِرِ الظَّمِّ وَقَابِلِ التَّوْبِ شَدِيدُ الْإِقَابِ إِذَا التَّوْبِ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. In Surah Ghafir, Surah 40, another name for it, Surah Mu'min, Allah SWT tells about His sifat. غَافِرِ الظَّمِّ. He is a forgiver of all sin, ظَمْ. وَقَابِلِ التَّوْبِ قَابِلِ يُقْبِلِ التَّوْبَةِ مِنْ عِبَادِ. What if Allah gives us the tawfiq to make tawbah? He taught us the way to tawbah and then He rejects it. So I'm not going to accept. Can we go anywhere? هَلَّنَا أَيِّ بَابْ هَلَّنَا أَيِّ فَرَجْ. لا. Do we have any doors to go and knock? Can somebody please help us? Allah accept tawbah? No. This is the beauty of Allah being التواب الرحيم from His rahmah, is that He accepts that يَقْبَلَ التَّوْبَ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ. For if Allah يَرْفُضَ التَّوْبَ احنا خُسْرَانُ مُبِينَ. We are at a big loss. So we have to understand this name of tawbah, that number one, He gives us tawfiq for tawbah. Number two, He teaches us how to make tawbah. Number three, He accepts the tawbah. And number four, He makes the tawbah manifest. And we'll finish with this. How? How do you seal your tawbah?
You don't go back to ma'asiyah.
Huh?
You don't go back to ma'asiyah.
Before even that, not going back to ma'asiyah. How does Allah seal the faith for our tawbah? He gives us the encouragement from that, when we read the hadith of Rasulullah, He gives us the encouragement for us to make sadaqah. إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُظْهِرْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ, verily the good deeds. And here hasanat means التبرعات, الصدقات, الزكاة. Anything mal, when you make, when you kharch, when you infiq, when you make, spend in the way of Allah, this is a way, يُظْهِرْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. It is sealing the faith that the tawbah you made is inshallah complete. Inshallah complete. This is what Allah is saying. Meaning Allah is saying, don't just make tawbah and then forget, turn away and forget about it. Give something in the way of Allah, because then that will erase, wipe out. إِنَّ الْحَسِنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ فَهَا. It will totally expire, replace it with. In another place in Surah Furqan, Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّرُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ. About the Ibadur Rahman, Allah says in Surah Furqan, those are the people, Ibadur Rahman, who are truly Abd of Allah, Abd of Rahman. What does Allah do to them? When they make sincere tawbah, Allah يُبَدِّلْ لَهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ. تَبْدِيلْ إِبْدَالِ. Allah changes their bad deeds into good deeds. See, it's one thing of tawwab and Rahman and Rahim, one thing is that you have bad deeds, you just erase it, wipe it off. 100, zero now. But Allah in this ayah, Surah Furqan, says, يُبَدِّلْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِ الْحَسَنَاتِ. You have 100 negative deeds, 100 positive. Subhanallah. This is from the maghfirah of Allah, from the hizm of Allah, that 100 bad deeds became 100 good deeds. Why? All because of one intention, niyyah. Tawbatun nasuha. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha. In Surah Tahrim, Allah says this, and we'll finish with this for today. Next week, or next Thursday, we'll continue with the names of Allah, Raqib, and Shaheed, and Hafiz, and Latif, inshallah. For today, this is more than enough. Jazakallah khairan wa akhadu anil adhu al-adhu 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 al-adh